Hey, it's Danny Sunshine here, and I just want to say thank you for being a great listener of the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast. If you're listening on the day this episode is dropped, it's January 2nd, 2019, which means it is a new year. So happy new year. Thanks so much for listening to the podcast. It's my goal to serve you at a high level and inspire you, empower you to be the best version of the leader that you want to be for your school. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And this is a fun episode because the mic is turned on me. My friend David there in California, he is the host and he's asking me the questions and some questions submitted by the listeners. So I hope you enjoy the show. Happy New Year and thanks again for listening. A lot of school leaders talk about improving students' soft skills to help them succeed in their rigorous coursework. The problem is that most leaders just talk about it without actually doing anything. You can improve your students' non-cognitive skills today by checking out an amazing program called Organized Binder. Learn more at organizedbinder.com. Students who participate in the Conrad Challenge don't learn to think outside the box. There is no box. Learn how innovation takes off and soars beyond the confines of a box at conradchallenge.org.
Hey y'all, I'm Casey Bell of the Google Teacher Tribe podcast, a proud member of the Education Podcast Network, just like the show you're listening to right now. The opinions expressed are those of the individual hosts. Make sure you check out all the other great podcasts at edupodcastnetwork.com and get ready because the learning begins in 3, 2, 1.
Hey, BLBS listeners, this is David Domena, an elementary teacher in Southern California and a loyal follower of this very podcast. My guest today is normally the host of this wildly popular podcast. However, today we are turning the mic on him. But in case this is your first time listening to the show, Danny Sunshine Bauer is the founder of Better Leaders, Better Schools, a popular blog and most downloaded podcast for leaders in education. He helps school leaders fight isolation and frustration through his leadership community, The Mastermind, in order to gain clarity and find solutions to their greatest challenges. Danny is also the author of a number one hot new release on Amazon, the Better Leaders, Better Schools Roadmap, which helps educators create legendary schools. Thank you so much, Danny, for this incredible opportunity. How are you doing today?
I'm good. I'm happy to be here on the show. So thanks for inviting me to this.
Yeah, you're sitting on the other side of the mic this time. So we get started. We're going to jump right in. How effective were you as a leader at avoiding isolation, the very thing that you're trying to help leaders and principals and admin fight now? How were you at avoiding that?
Well, that's good. That's a good question. And you know, that's really why the podcast was birthed. As an assistant principal in Chicago, I just felt overlooked. And that's my lived experience. I know some school districts really knock out their leadership development out of the park. But the few places I've been and the APs I talk to, they're often the leader that's overlooked, right? They don't have meetings and they don't have leadership development. That stuff might happen internally. And I think I was pushed and challenged and developed a bit within the school, but I still knew that I had so much more to offer. And so basically as a podcast listener and listening to different leadership, business related, entrepreneurial related podcasts, I thought to myself, well, if I invite people to a powerful conversation, put it out there for free through the show, maybe I'll learn some things, right? I could hear people's success stories, what they've learned from failure, and all the tips and tricks, you know, that we try to unpack through the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast. So that's how it was birthed. And it was out of a pain point of my own, because avoiding isolation is really, really hard to do. So the podcast happened, and now that's what I do within the leadership community, the mastermind, you know, is connect great school leaders to each other. And we help solve each other's problems as a community instead of doing it in isolation.
Right. That's all good stuff, man. And I think we talked about in the pre-chat, you started something locally in Chicago at the time and it didn't pan out so well.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's good. I'm glad you remembered that one. But before the podcast, I tried to do something locally, just having local dinners where people would get together, break some bread, enjoy a meal, some drinks, and get vulnerable and authentic about education leadership, talk about what's going well, but really, hey, can I invite you into this challenge? I want to do better, do right by my community. And I think I had one, maybe two of those. They were very difficult to gather the people. not because of a lack of leaders, a lack of network. I think the paradox was that because it was face-to-face and local, there's just excuses, too many, you know, traffic, kids. And some of these things aren't excuses, they're the reality, but it just seemed like it was hard to gather regularly. So that was frustrating. And just like being the AP in the school or with these dinners, you know, you have a choice. And so you're going to throw yourself a pity party and say, well, you know, this isn't working and I have to give up. Or you're going to take ownership and try to figure out, like, how can I figure out the solution to this issue? And so for me, yeah, the local dinner thing wasn't happening. And then the podcast and later the mastermind. And that is the greatest paradox, is that when I opened it up to the world, I was able to connect on a much more consistent basis. You know, here you are in California, I'm recording this, I'm in the Netherlands.
Yeah.
And this is going to be, you know, an awesome conversation. It's already starting that way. And it's just, it's worldwide, you know, through technology. So looking at what's available and just trying to get like-minded people together, form a tribe and see what we could do as a result.
All right. So what I hear you saying, Danny, is, you know, when you try something, put yourself out there and it might not work, but, you know, try something else, you know, switch gears, change lanes, put yourself out there in another avenue and keep at it.
Right. It's just, it's being receptive to the data, the feedback you're getting. A lot of businesses, schools I've heard, you know, they talk about the iteration process. It's a bit like design thinking. And so I knew the general idea was right, getting amazing leaders together to talk authentically about leadership and education, but maybe the vehicle, right, local dinners wasn't the right thing just yet. And so the podcast, the mastermind, it has been working. And so I'm going to keep at that and just try to improve what we're putting out there.
Awesome. Good stuff, man. Can you tell me something tell us something impactful that teachers or leaders can start doing tomorrow? Something, maybe it's not on a grand scale, like a huge podcast, a wildly popular, successful podcast like you have yourself, but something that they can start doing right away as soon as they get done with this podcast.
Yeah. Whenever I post on social media, my journal format, that always is received very well. People share it quite a bit or comment, like, and that kind of stuff. So that's something that I've routinely done now for years. And just like the dinners to the podcast, it's iterated, it's changed, and that's fine. So where I've landed probably the last couple months, here's what I do every single morning. I basically take a piece of paper and divide it up into 8 boxes. The first box, I'm going to think about yesterday. And I'm going to think about what could I do and change to make the day better. So for example, just a couple of days ago, I wrote to myself that I need to put my dishes away immediately after lunch. and if I get called out for it, don't get defensive because it's right. I should clean up after myself. And so these are good because it helps me, I hope, like try to identify trends that I don't want to have and reminds me, right, that I have ownership over this kind of stuff. You know, a couple other things I've written to myself recently is just being fully present during these type of conversations or coaching conversations. And that's where meditation really comes in helpful because, you know, you notice that you're getting distracted or whatever. And then again, just like the dinner to the podcast, you have a choice. Do you want to stay distracted or you want to bring yourself back? And what's the intention of us, you know, getting together, recording this right now is put a great, inspiring, empowering conversation out there for educators. So I got to make sure and check in with myself frequently that I'm present. And then the other day, I was just a little frustrated with the coffee machine. So, you know, I've got some of the worst problems, man, in the world, like pity me and that kind of thing. But it's this small stuff, you know, it's not real big grand things, but they add up. And when I can address them, it helps me just keep trying to become that best version of myself, right? I'm not perfect, far from it, but it's about progress, not perfection. So that's the first box. Second box, real quick, just 3 things you're grateful for, right? So here's 3 that I wrote down recently. I can't wait for this surprise to come in for my wife. So I ordered her something. It's coming in. I'm really excited to give that to her. I had great sleep the other day. So that's something to be thankful for because a lot of people don't, you know, have wonderful rest. And I wrote down too that the mastermind and the one-on-one coaching I do has been growing nicely. And so at the time of this recording, we have 48 members in the mastermind, 48 school leaders. They're heroes, in my opinion, from across the world. And then there's a number of one-on-one people I work with. So those are 2 boxes. Third box, briefly, is just me identifying the priorities for the day aligned to my biggest goals. So I have the mastermind goal, I have a delegation goal, and I have a fitness goal. And then I keep score. So the journal page I'm looking at, I scored 5 out of 7 that day, and I missed a couple of things. I didn't get to them. I answer every day, what am I excited most about? So today I'm most excited about recording this episode with you. And I look just through my calendar, and I try to just get really pumped for one thing. Identify that as the most exciting event that I have planned. What might be a challenge? So one day I wrote, go to bed and nap before the mastermind. So as Grandpa Bauer leads the mastermind, I say it, but, you know, I'm on Central European time. And so every Tuesday and Wednesday, I take a nap 8 to 10:30 so I can be my best for the mastermind. I need to be refreshed because those in Europe start at 11 at night and go to 2:30 in the morning. You know, most of the mastermind members are in North America. And so for them, it's 4 p.m. through, I don't know, like 7:30 central time. But for me in Europe, it's a little wonky in terms of the schedule. So the challenge is to make sure that I do that, right? And fall asleep and I'm not on my device or doing things that are going to amp me up so I can't get my rest. I answer every day, who am I going to help? And who am I going to help and not expect anything returned back to me, right? I'm giving without any expectations, no strings attached. So on this day, I had 3 coaching calls that were something complimentary on my end with Jason, Tyson, and Brian. And so I was just coaching them and helping them work through some stuff. And so that's who I wanted to help, no strings attached. I say a prayer or a positive affirmation for my wife, and I'm going to keep that one private. So nothing, you know, silly or scary or anything like that. I'm just respecting her privacy. I'm a crazy open public type persona and she's not. And so, if I want to stay married, like that's, I've learned to try to be a little more private. So, that's an area of growth for me too. And then the last thing is just a free spot. So I could doodle, I could summarize some stuff I'm reading. Maybe I write down an important quote. And recently, I wrote down a quote from Miles Davis, time isn't the main thing, it's the only thing. And I wrote down that quote. I was thinking about productivity. I'm leading about 15 men in the mastermind that I participate in, not the one I lead over at Iron Sharpens Iron, led by my mentor, Aaron Walker. About 15 of those guys I'm serving just through 3 months of productivity coaching. And so I was thinking deeply that day about what it means to be intentional with our calendars, to set big, hairy, audacious goals, and then accomplish them in 12 weeks.
Awesome, man. That's a great breakdown. So let me ask you this. How often do you go back and revisit, obviously using some of the recent journal entries now?
Yeah.
How often do you go back and revisit what you've listed? Do you kind of get a gauge for that, take a temperature and see where you were, where you're at now, where you're going?
Yeah. And I don't know. That's one thing I don't have on my calendar, like review the journal. So there's many of my things. If you see my calendar and my to-dos, they're set up in a recurring way. So I don't have to think much about it. And to some extent, my life and the big things I want to accomplish are automated and the calendar is telling me what to do. That one's not on there yet. So it's kind of just in the moment and when that's happening, or maybe we're having a podcast conversation. And so my journal just has to be open. I do regularly revisit if I'm accomplishing what I said was most important for the goals, right, of the day. And like just flipping through this week, I was 2 out of 3, 3 out of 3, 5 out of 7, 4 out of 5. And then I still have to score today's. And at the end of the week, I'll add those all up and give myself a percentage. And basically the method, which comes from the 12-week year, if I'm scoring, he says 85%, the author, Brian Moran, but just because of some of the numbers and how that all works out, I say 80% or better. And if I score there, I've had a very successful week. And that helps me too, to give myself some permission not to be perfect. Because here's the thing, there's days that I don't get everything done that I want to get done. And so do I quit? Do I throw a fit? You know, do I get super frustrated? No. I mean, I just put that on the next day and I keep moving forward. So it's a reminder too that as long as you give your best effort and you're hitting above 80% each week, you're going to accomplish so much in a quarter. And that's how I've designed that system.
Yeah. So you allow yourself some grace, some built-in grace there, huh?
Absolutely.
Awesome. So can you give us, as listeners of your podcast, a career highlight or maybe one that you're still in search of, something that's out there that you really want to get accomplished?
I think the career highlight is the mastermind easily. You know, and I've worked with my mentor now for 3 years in his mastermind. And the story there, real quick for listeners, if they haven't heard it, is that I saw so much personal and professional transformation in like 6 months or less working with Aaron over at Iron Sharpens Iron. I looked at our industry and I realized, you know, we need this. If we're isolated as school leaders and I'm getting this type of transformation, who's going to step in the gap and serve? And so that's something that I decided, you know, to do. It's been absolutely everything. And it happens basically year round, right? I mean, we meet except for Christmas, New Year's, Thanksgiving, and 4th of July. There's a meeting going every single week. And so just imagine, right, listeners, as long as you're not driving, close your eyes. And imagine with me that you have this consistent tribe, this consistent group that's there week in, week out. You're building these strong, deep relationships. You could be your true, authentic self. You could say, here's what I don't have figured out. Here's where I need some help. And these guys are going to walk alongside you during this leadership journey and help you through it. And the best part is we don't work together. So we can be brutally honest. There's no thinking like, well, you know, what's it going to be like at work if I'm honest and blah, 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 say this stuff. And there's no politics. So we're all just cheering each other on, wanting everyone to be successful. And we can do that in a very, very authentic, honest, but rooted in love and rooted in love type of way, if that makes sense.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like that's what we're going for with our collaboration time in schools and in even in admin meetings. So Danny, to lighten things up a little bit, we've been a little heavy there. I appreciate it. Can you give us your top Instagram follows? I know you're a big social media guy. Who's your top Instagram follows and why?
I think, you know, I like Jim Carrey. So do you follow him on Instagram?
I don't, but I'm writing that down right now.
Yeah, Jim Carrey. Let me see what he's posted today. He's an interesting guy. And I mean, here's a tip for leaders. Study stand-up comedians, study comedians, because their ability to command an audience and their ability to tell stories, to connect on a human level, to insert humor where life is hard. Like those are important skills. And you can learn a lot about influence, about communication from comedians. But Jim is on a journey too of self-discovery. And I just like the type of things that he posts, right? I find them inspirational and really positive. So for example, who you were, who you are, and who you will be are three different people. We do not see things as they are. We see things as we are. Non-resistance, non-judgment, and non-attachment are the three aspects of true freedom and enlightened living. So his stuff, you know, it tends to be like of the spiritual essence and kind of deep, but I find it really positive and optimistic and just good stuff. So he's somebody I love to follow. There's my friend Stoke Steve, you know, and I'm always checking him out as well. He was on the podcast and has a great after-school program for students. And he teaches leadership through action sports, snowboarding, skiing, skateboarding, and surfing. So anyways, that's Stoked. And Steve Laros is his name on Instagram.
Awesome, man. You know, I could have listed about 384 people and Jim Carrey would not have been one of them that I thought you were going to mention today.
Yeah, his is Jim Carrey here is his username. So Jim Carrey here. But that's somebody you should check out. It's good stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. We can check that out right after this. And I know I've seen some interviews with him and he is pushing, you know, like you said, self-discovery and enlightenment, those types of things. So
right.
We're going to jump right into the next section here of the podcast. And we got some listener submitted questions that we're going to go through. This first one here is from Eileen. She wants to know, how has living in Europe changed or influenced who you are, both personally and professionally?
Eileen, from the mastermind, I think. So shout out to her. I love her for so many reasons. She leads with heart and she's really, really honest and a great communicator. And she always follows up with people too, in terms of like big events, you know, it might be a birthday or anniversary or somebody went on an interview. I'm just so impressed at how great she does with relationships. So I know that's not the question you asked, but that's part of it. Europe's changed me in some sense that, you know, I think I've slowed down a bit. You know, they just have different perspectives on work. And I think North Americans and specifically Americans can learn something from that. They're not always on, you know, they have very strong boundaries, and that could be frustrating at times because, you know, stores won't be open or whatever, you know, it's just, it's a different type of life. And I'm used to a culture where you literally can get anything at any time, at any moment, especially if you're willing to pay for it, right? And so it's really slowed me down. And then, you know, I haven't had a car for the past 2 years. So I really just reconnected, I think, with being outside, being in my body, riding my bike, and just getting to enjoy what that's like, you know, not commuting in a car, not being able to hide from the elements because I'm riding, you know, snow, rain, hot weather, it doesn't matter. But it makes me feel like a kid again in some respects, like I'm a 12-year-old boy just hopping on my BMX and about to, you know, do some ramps and, you know, adventure and that kind of stuff. It always feels like an adventure. And the other thing too, and you know, I've served internationally before, traveling and living here in Europe, but the variety of perspectives helps you A, become a better listener, B, get more clarity about what your principles truly are, and then C, I think appreciate multiple perspectives a lot more, right? And so if you grow up somewhere and you don't get to travel that much, you're not exposed to just so many different ways of thinking, art, culture, society, you know, all that kind of stuff. And so it's real easy to say they're doing it wrong, we're doing it right. There's just a whole bunch of different ways of doing things, right? And not that anybody has a corner on how to do things right. So I've really grown in being able to appreciate just the different approaches to how people live.
Awesome. Next question comes in from, Heather here. Heather wants you to talk about your why. Why do you do what you do, Danny Bauer?
So I went to the Global Leadership Summit conference, and that obviously it's all about leadership. And I heard a quote that I took and then added a line to, everybody wins when a leader gets better. And then I say too, everybody wins when you get better, because I work with leaders. So my why is about getting better as a leader. And there's another quote that I love. To be a great leader, you need to create more leaders, not more followers, right? So here with the podcast, with the Mastermind, I'm not looking for a bunch of followers. I'm looking for a bunch of people who want to seriously investigate their leadership practice and be the best version of themselves as they can. And so I think I'm living out that quote, both quotes. And as I've continued to evolve and grow better leaders, I've identified my three things that I do within my zone of genius. The three things only I can do within my organization. You know, it's not unique to me. Other people do this around the world, but it's me expressing my gifts at the highest level. And that's creating content for school leaders like this, the podcast, my book, The Better Leaders, Better Schools Roadmap. I want to start blogging more, but that kind of stuff. I coach heroic school leaders. So I create content, I coach them. And then the third thing is I connect amazing school leaders through community, right? And the biggest way I do that through the Mastermind, but that's a value. And so I think about how to do that everywhere I'm at. So for example, when I was in Chicago for the National Principal Conference, I threw a huge party. I threw it with Able Schools, which is a great organization trying to tackle how we take on master scheduling. And we bought all the drinks and a whole bunch of food and invited awesome people that were attending the conference. And we just had a blast. So create content, coach school leaders, and connect them through community.
Yeah. The next one comes in from Rosemary. She wants to know, how did or do you keep encouraged when faced with a major disappointment? You seem like a very upbeat, positive guy. And we know we all have roadblocks that pop up from time to time. Maybe your hot water goes out, things like that. But how do you keep encouraged and positive when faced with those kinds of struggles?
Shout out to Rosemary too. She's also in the Mastermind, and she's a fearless school leader out there in New York, and a new member. So I just so appreciate her throwing in a question and enrolling herself into this leadership community, wanting to get better. But in terms of dealing with disappointment, I mean, that's where community, you know, I have my Mastermind that I lead and the one that I'm a member of at Iron Sharpens Iron. And that community helps me through everything, right? Obviously, I have my best friend and the love of my life, Miriam, and we're able to hold each other's burdens and help each other, you know, through tough times. So I really try to rely on people when I'm at my best, and when I'm at my worst, I withdraw. And again, that's why the mastermind is so important to me, is just the idea of connections. So if I withdraw, and Greg Sacciacoli in The Enemies of Excellence says the number one enemy of excellence is isolation, I got to break myself out of that. Outside of it too, I try to approach it in an objective way if I can. Again, meditation, back to that, it's helped me out. It's like the art of noticing, you know? So, why am I feeling that way? And let's get curious. And, you know, is it grounded in anything, or am I overreacting? You know, so just trying to investigate. Might journal about that in the morning. And yeah, just to zoom out, have perspective on stuff too, right? Like, I know we're incredibly emotional as human beings, but if you just think too, like, is this going to matter in 5 days, 5 weeks, 5 years? You know, asking those kind of questions, it gives you better perspective. And how I was joking with you too, how I have it the worst, right? When I was talking about the coffee machine, the other thing, that comes from a story I heard from Charlie Munger, and I read it on the Farnham Street blog, which is a great blog. But basically, Charlie had this friend who had 100 note cards, right? And basically, if he heard somebody start wallowing in their own self-pity and like playing the victim, he would hand them a card. And the card basically said, wow, thank you for sharing what you're going through. You absolutely have it the worst of anybody I know, right? And that's tongue in cheek. You know, that's right. That would be super mean to do. And I can't tell if it really happened or not, but what's the principle? The principle is feeling bad for myself right now in this discouraged moment. It might be natural, but do I want to stay there? And if I stay there, how does that serve me or the world, you know? And so the best days I'm able to get out of it. And then the worst days I'm sort of stuck in this cycle of maybe anger or frustration or something. But I love, you know, if you could add some brevity, again, back to the humor and the comedians and stuff, like if you can hand yourself that card and read it to yourself in the mirror, Danny, man, you have it worse than anybody. Oh my God, your coffee machine's like making a loud noise or whatever the stupid thing I was frustrated about. Like, dude, take a breath. And that's how I try to work through stuff.
Yeah, perspective is huge. And I hear you keep going back to the same kind of underlying theme of checking in with yourself, seeing what you can do differently, what you can do better, even allowing yourself some grace, taking a step away and getting a little bit of a reset button before you go back at it.
But the thing with that. Well, I appreciate you saying that. And you're absolutely right for pulling that theme out. So, you know, maybe you need a podcast. You're doing a really great job, David, as a as a host. But that theme is important because you can only control yourself. Isn't that kind of scary as a leader? Like, wow, I'm supposed to lead this building. All these people are supposed to listen to me. We need to do what's right, quote unquote, for kids. And I really can't make them do anything. Right. I could be a jerk and I could try to manipulate and use my power. That'll work for a time, but you're not going to be an adored leader. You're not going to be a vibrant member of the community. You're going to be feared and hated behind your back. You know, do you understand that? And so if you read the Better Leaders, Better Schools roadmap, some people were threw off by that because really the first 2/3 of the book is all about you. The last 1/3 is about how to change the school. I don't know if you caught that or any of the listeners that are readers, but yeah, you know, and that's what's worked for me. I feel like I'm experiencing a high level of success and I enjoy that. And people want to hear from me and they trust me. And I'm so privileged to work with a lot of great leaders. And I think that's because I've done a lot of work on myself and I can help them through that process as well.
Yeah, definitely. I'm a firm believer. It all starts with yourself. Especially as a leader, you don't want to ask people to do things that you're not doing yourself. Mm. This doesn't tie into your vision, I guess. So that kind of leads us right into our next question from Maria. She's asking, she has to pit her wit sometimes against her students to get them more motivated. She tries all kinds of approaches. She gets hands-on, but then sometimes nothing seems to be working. Have you found that, or do you have any solution for that type of a struggle? And I know we've talked before about power teaching, whole brain teaching, you know, getting kids up, moving, and different, taking a different approach and being looked at kind of funky because you're trying these different things, but just getting the buy-in from the students. Any suggestion there?
Well, I think Maria's on the right track because she's wondering, again, what's under her control that she can change. You know, the ineffective teacher says, what's wrong with these dang kids? Why can't they turn in their work or be quiet, blah, blah, blah. And the ineffective principal says, you know, what's wrong with these dang staff members? Can't they come to work on time and, you know, do these requirements, et cetera. So I appreciate that she's wondering, like, what can I do? And then for me, it's just continuing to evolve. So you mentioned whole brain teaching. When I started, it was called power teaching, but man, they got kids out of their desks and it made learning really fun. And the environment was the type of environment I wanted to create. So that was a win-win for everybody. I remember there was this one class that I just had a heck of a time connecting to, and I was really an effective teacher. And I invited the lady who trained me to be a teacher in undergrad to observe me and give me some critical feedback. And I was surprised. One of the things she told me, you know, was to stop screaming. And I wasn't screaming like a, you know, a big mean type of person, but I was a coach. So I was used to raising my voice to be heard. She told me to whisper. And so that was counterintuitive, but she said, one, you know, if you're talking that softly, they have to be quiet if they want to learn and your kids want to learn. And you see what she did there is like, she shifted my mindset who I was getting really fed up with those students. And it was getting really close to me being ineffective and wanting to say what's their problem, but they do want to learn. So I have to figure out how to create that environment for them to learn. And it wasn't to add to the noise or to escalate, you know, the emotions and all that kind of stuff. It was to put a more calming presence in the classroom, and that worked. And the other thing too, you know, we worked through as well is like trying to see the students that were in front of me and building better relationships and that kind of thing. So I would just tell Maria, you know, try to challenge some of the approaches that she has, and then see how else she can enrich the relationships that she has within the class.
Awesome. Good stuff there. So this last one here is coming from a listener by the name of Joanne. And I got to be honest, I'm looking at something down this road as well. So this is more of a selfish submission as well. I'm piggybacking on Joanne's question here. But she's looking at reformatting her room into a cafe style setting with couches, coffee tables, flexible seating type of thing. And it's based on a new curriculum that her class will be required to start at the beginning of the semester. She teaches high school special education, and it's a self-contained classroom. So she's wondering, should she go all in with the changes at once or change the environment over winter break and then give them a little bit of time to adapt before the new semester begins and the curriculum rolls out?
Well, if you have the funds and all the material and everything, I like ripping the Band-Aid off and having a fresh restart. I think that's a really awesome opportunity, you know, with the beginning of the new year. And I think that would provide a lot of excitement and momentum in the classroom for her and for the kids. She knows her kids too, and I wonder how they adapt to change. And so that's the only other thing I'd add to that is, you know, would that cause any level of anxiety for them? And so should she introduce a little more slowly? But she feels pretty confident that they can stomach that larger, grander change, then I would do it all at once.
Yeah, I was thinking along the same lines. And then the only thing that threw me off was the high school special education. But like you said, she knows her students. Mm-hmm. She knows what they're capable of, their personalities, and she should be able to fire off from there. So we're going to take a break here. I'm wondering if all your listeners are understanding the value that you're providing. And it's all free. This is incredible. But to make it free, we got to pause here for a message from our sponsors.
Today's show is proudly sponsored by Organized Binder, a program which gives students daily exposure to goal setting, reflective learning, time and task management, study strategies, organization skills, and more. Organized Binder's color-coded system is implemented by the teacher through parallel process with students, helping them create a predictable and dependable classroom routine. You can learn more and improve your students' executive functioning and non-cognitive skills at organizedbinder.com.
And we're back. So finishing up here, Danny, it's been a great conversation so far. Thank you again for having me on. It's been an incredible opportunity. I'm really enjoying myself. It's my first time out here trying to get behind the microphone.
Yeah,
but you're really familiar with these questions, so you can tear right through these. And I'm sure the Better Leaders, Better Schools listeners are going to be interested to see what you have to say here. What is one resource that has really impacted your leadership, your productivity, or your quality of life in the past 3 months, and how did it impact you?
I want listeners to pick up the book, The Big Leap, and read that. It's by Gay Hendricks, and it's about identifying and then eradicating your upper limit challenges. And if you could really take the ceiling off of your potential, then man, it's, you know, the sky's the limit. Tim Galloway, who's a performance coach, says that your potential is equal to your performance minus the interference. And that upper limit challenge, that's the interference, those tiny voices and things that tell you you can't do it and all that. You need to identify that and then do something about it and then be able to add, you know, what would be your greatest contribution to the world. So check out The Big Leap by Gay Hendricks.
Awesome, man. What message would you put on a school marquee, all school marquees across the globe, if you could do so for just one day?
You know, I like what I used to close my podcast with quite a bit. That life's 10% of what happens to you, 90% how you react to it. So, you know, I'm all about personal ownership and the choices you make. So that's what I put on the school marquee.
Love it. And last one here, you made it to the end of the podcast. I know you congratulate your guests. We're congratulating you. You're building a school from the ground up. You're not limited by any resources. Your only limitation is your imagination. How would you build your dream school and what would be your top three priorities?
Yeah, I was like, oh man, I'm going to have to answer this question. So I don't want to get too deep into it. I mean, it's definitely layered, but I'd focus on people, you know, and people who love people and love kids and people who love to learn. And I wouldn't care about their resume or their experience. I wouldn't care how they answer like messages about classroom management. I'd want to test them to see how they are still learning, how they care about people, that kind of thing. I'd have a central headquarters and no school building. So the central headquarters would be fun and flexible and really relaxed. And we just have a daily huddle aligned to the goals that we had for the semester, school mission, vision, and value review, stories of success, and requests for help where needed. And after that huddle, the kids would be dispersed into the community with their coaches, their teachers. And they would just go do authentic learning. So either in internships, you know, working alongside professionals, or just solving the biggest problems within their community. So people, central HQ for the check-in, but no real school building. And then I would make it a private school too. And I would raise funds so that kids could apply that were students in need and lower socioeconomic families. But I'd make it private so that we didn't have to take all the stupid public tests, right? Like they're just absolutely dumb and everybody knows it, but nobody, you know, some people will say that, but not everybody. And right. It's not testing for what we wanted to test. It's not creating the type of human beings we want to create. And it's all just a bunch of BS. So we'd be a private school, so we didn't have to play that. Because here's the funny thing. Last part, I'm getting on a rant. Politicians who create all these dumb rules, dumb, stupid, ridiculous rules. Their kids don't go to public school. They go to private school where they have all the arts, all the creativity. They have all the flexibility and they don't take the test. Shocker. Little secret I let out. Sorry.
Sorry, not sorry, huh?
Not sorry at all.
Well, Dan, you've been an amazing guest on your very own podcast. Thank you so much for being a part of this, giving me this opportunity. Do you have any parting words of advice? And what is the best way to get a hold of you?
Yeah, just parting words of advice. Go out there and be the best version of yourself. You can do it. I believe in you. And if I could help you on your leadership journey, send me an email, daniel@betterleadersbetterschools.com. And we can start that conversation. I'm at Alien Earbud all over social media. So let's connect. I want to help. And thank you so much for listening to the podcast. And David, thanks for being a great host.
Thank you, man. It was amazing.
All right, Better Leaders, just a few more things before you take off. I created a new resource for you called The 3 Leadership Questions I Ask Every Day. You can download the resource by visiting betterleadersbetterschools.com. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure you subscribe, rate, and review the podcast. This helps me in a few ways. It gives the show some social proof. It encourages new people to listen to the show, and it improves the ranking of the show and therefore helps me serve more school leaders. If you want extra credit and some good vibes, share your biggest takeaway from the show and tag me on Twitter and Instagram. My handle is Alien Earbud, an anagram for my name, Daniel Bauer, and make sure to use the hashtag BLBS. This Sunday is the weekend resource. Join over 3,000 school leaders that get this resource delivered every week. In the weekend resource, I share content curated specifically for school leaders. You'll get articles, videos, templates, and exercises
coaching tips, inspirational quotes, invitations to free Friday group coaching, which is an exclusive offer made available only to newsletter subscribers in the Better Leaders, Better Schools tribe, and links to all the content I created for you this past week. You can subscribe at betterleadersbetterschools.com/weekend-resource. And remember, life is 10% of what happens to you and 90% of how you react to it. Go out there today and be a better leader.